If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. To seek those things that are above is translated. That phrase, seek those things which are above, just actually comes from two Greek words. And those two Greek words mean seek upward. So, because it's like, I almost think like things isn't really the right, you know, well, obviously it's spiritual things, but it's really isn't our focus seeking him. And we get all of the things that go with him, all of the spiritual blessings that go with him. So we are at this time more than ever, this should remind us, and Tyler said it a few times this morning. We heard it down there in Alabama. It's at times like this, it shows us, where is our heart? I need to get back to seeking him, having him first in my life. And then to set our mind on these things means to exercise the mind. There's times you have to take that mind and say, here's what you're going to think about. And it means to interest. I like that, interest oneself. I don't know, sometimes people are like, oh, I wish I had a hobby. So they go and maybe try a couple things to see if they can interest themselves in a little hobby or something. I kind of would like to get into birds a little bit. My sister Sandy's so good at it. I'm trying to interest myself a little bit, you know, since I got so many birds flying around. I never knew there was so many different kinds of birds. But this is what we're supposed to do with our minds, and interest ourselves in the things of God. I don't know if I can actually tell you how to do that, you know, but you can figure that out. The Lord will help you. I mean, obviously, we're interested in God and we're interested in the things of God. You wouldn't be here. Golden opportunity to stay home if you don't want to, right? I don't want to spread. First, you'd be very, act like you're very loving. Well, I just don't want, in case I have it, I don't want to give it to anybody else. And then you could use, well, I just want to honor our governor, so I won't be here. And you have all of the opportunity to stay home and nobody will think about it, but you didn't. You're here. Why? Because you're interested. Your mind is set on the things of God. And obviously, what I'm preaching is to make sure that's what you're doing. You're seeking God, and you're setting your mind and your interest on him. 1 John 2:15 through 17, do not love the world or the things in the world. So obviously, you can participate in the world. You pretty much have to. Jesus said, don't take them out. They're in the world. So obviously we have to be here, but we're not to love the world. And what that means is you're not to love the system. You're not supposed to love the glitz and glitter of it and all it has to offer you that you think could set, that people would think would satisfy their soul. It is Jesus that satisfies and fulfills the believer. I'll tell you, I've tried different times and growing up in my walk with the Lord, I would take a little interest in things and, you know, I would just kind of fizzle out and just realize, it's just not in it. My buddy Steve knows firsthand how hunting kind of captured my heart a little bit after I was a believer and had to face a couple things that I believe the Lord was behind to rescue me from that and deliver me from that. Now I can do it. I can take it or leave it, and just joy getting out in the presence of the Lord and out in the woods and stuff. But we're not to love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And this is when I feel like grabbing some ministers and strangling them, and I go like, why are you tempting people and enticing people with the world, when it's the world that will keep them from having the love of the Father in them? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And when you read Genesis chapter 3, you'll see all three of those, what I just read, right in her. If you pay attention, she saw, all right? Lust of the eyes, that it was good. And it can make me wise. The pride of life, all that was right there, carried out. And in Eve in the garden, Adam and Eve. These things are not of the Father, but is of the world. The world is passing away and the lust of it. Praise God. But he who does the will of God abides forever. If you realize during this time that you may have had too much of your life wrapped up in this world, here's the first thing you do is you repent of it. You know, it's like, oh, how did I get my, why did I let myself get into this? And it's like, oh, now I got this big journey to like overcome this. It's like, you know what? Repent. Admit it. Right now that you've been a little bit too captivated by the world. Or if you don't know for sure, ask the Lord to show you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there would be any wicked way in me. But you will never have victory to let go of the world if you don't admit it to God that you love it. You know, I was, Joy likes to listen to Unshackled when we go to bed at night. And I don't know if I had just woke up, but I was listening to it a little bit and kind of fall asleep and wake up a lot in early things. And the guy was, I must have fell asleep and he became a Christian, but he was still drinking and getting drunk. And he was lying to his wife, oh, I got to work again late tonight, honey. And he was actually going to the bar and coming home late at night, drunk. And then, so when I started listening, he's like crying out to the Lord. And he's going, Lord, how come I cannot get victory over this? And it didn't sound like the guy in Cecil B. DeMille's movie, The Ten Commandments, how the Lord. But it just said, and they did like a little chime or something, and it was the voice of God. It says, because you've never asked me to help you. This is what God said back to this man. How come I can't get the victory? Because you never asked me to help you. Saints of God, that could be the very simple reason you and I haven't obtained the victories over besetting sin and things in our life because we forget the very basic of your salvation, repentance. We forget that. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us. And that, to me, the cleanses of all unrighteousness doesn't mean, okay, I'm going to forgive you of that sin. I believe he's doing a cleansing work in us that gives us power over that sin and redirects our life so we have victory over it. So be open and honest. I know you might feel like you've done something 1,000 times, and that can dissuade you and discourage you for repent, but just take it to the Lord. Feel the forgiveness of the Lord and the power to have the victory. You will notice a walk of victory in your life. He will give you a distaste toward all those things of the world that have captivated your heart. I tell this story quite a bit. When I first bought our place up in the UP, I was like infected with wanting to live there. I knew Joy wouldn't be that probably helped me somewhat not do it, but I was like looking for excuses. Oh, Lord, do you want me to start a church up here? I'm trying to find some spiritual reason to move up there, but all along I knew it was not the will of the Lord. Seriously, there's sometimes spring would roll around and I've got to go up and open up the cab and get the pier, and it's like, oh, I almost dread going up there again. You know, over the winter, you kind of forget about it, but once you get there and then you get captivated by the beauty and the fresh air and all that, it's like, oh, again, I just want to move up here. I just want to move up here. Well, I could tell you, if the Lord asked me to move up there, I'd be fighting him on it. I have no interest. I even want to sell the place. So I know that. I just told the Lord, God, if you want me to keep that for everybody else, show me. Show me that. Actually, when I announced a couple years ago I was going to sell it, people were literally crying. So I still have it. But you know what? He gave me a distaste. Because that could have been an idol, or may have been an idol in my life. He gave me a distaste. In fact, I asked him, Lord, actually let me enjoy it, like it again. And when I'm there, I do. And so many times I sat out there in my little floaty thing and all the grandkids are like, God, thank you for this. This is so awesome. But you know, I just love him the most. I love him better than anything that he's ever given me or given us. You can renew your trust in him instead of what the world can do for you. And then the last point I want to make, it is at times like this, that's the name of the sermon, by the way, it's at times like this, that I am reminded that the Lord is still coming. It's at times like this I get excited for the Lord to come. I can admit that through the years, there's times of excitement towards it and kind times, not forget it, but it's kind of like on the, off to the side. When I first got saved, Reed was so good at all that end time stuff. I really loved it. And I was always excited. And I'm telling people, my son Adam, the Lord will be here before my son Adam ever graduates. He's like 6 years old. Now I've had not just him graduate, but I've had my granddaughter graduate. And I got another one getting ready to graduate in a year. And he still didn't come. But I want you to know, I still believe he is coming. And I can guarantee this, he is closer to coming now than he was 36 years ago when I thought he was coming. Matthew 24, 42, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. He's speaking this to the saints. You do not know what hour he is coming. Revelation, we had a little discussion, Nathan Needlepack, he was driving us to the church and back, and he says he even liked how I think so logically about things, and this is a scripture here, Revelation 3:3. Remember, therefore, now, or how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. So my logic to Nathan is if the Lord's warning us that we can miss, that we have to watch for the hour, therefore we could miss that hour. I am one of them. I don't know, maybe it's a little old-fashioned today, but I am one of those people that believe not every Christian is going to get raptured. And he's coming for those who are watching for him. That phrase, the word watch and watching is 13 times around there, or 16 times in the New Testament, warning us we need to be watching for him. He is, and in Revelation 3:3, you know he's talking to the church. He's talking to the church in Sardis. And he is warning them, saying, you can miss it. I don't know how else to take that. That he will come as a thief to those who aren't careful, who aren't watchful. So we need to be reminded of that again in this day that we live. Because again, these are the kind of days, it's in the perilous times that the Lord's going to come. There's another part of me that says he ain't coming now because this is the time I expect him to come. And he's coming when we don't expect it. He might come in the midst of, you know, like, maybe about a year ago or something, when all of this economy, everything is flowing and good, is at times like that, we think, oh, things are going good. He's not coming. And it's at times like that that he would come. But I certainly think these are the perilous times that we are told to watch for, because it's then that he has come. He's going to come. And it's before the great tribulation starts, God is going to rapture the church. That isn't so popular anymore either, but I still believe before the tribulation that God is going to rapture his church. I'm not saying that Christians aren't going to go through tribulation, and you can settle that easily just by going overseas in some of these third world countries and see what's happening to Christians today, and you can say they're facing persecution, tribulation, torture, starvation, imprisonment for the name of Jesus right now. So, but that's not the great tribulation. The great tribulation is going to be a time like no other. And praise God, and we're going to be out of here. So again, that doesn't mean Christians won't experience tribulation. In fact, 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. If you want to get out of persecution, then don't pursue holiness. But I don't think that'll really work, really, because the world's going through struggles itself. Those who believe pre-trib rapture, like many of us, or maybe most of us here, are accused of escapism. They go, yeah? Yeah? What's your point? I do want to escape. Paul wanted to escape when he was preaching the gospel, and then they lowered him down through a wall. He wanted to escape, and he says to his nephew, go tell the captain what you heard those people say, how they want to wait and kill me. Go ahead and tell your captain. He wanted to escape that, but he didn't want to escape anything. He didn't want to escape what he was going to have to face in Jerusalem and in Rome. But nothing was wrong. It would be a little interesting to be here during the tribulation to see all of these things happen. But you'd be a fool if you really want to be here. And I don't believe those people that accuse of escapism really want to be here. In fact, I think most of those would buckle. Most of them would buckle in just the face of mild persecution. So amen. You want to escape? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. You know, when we escape, no more sin in our life. No more interest in anything but Him. Hallelujah. And our love for one another will be perfect. Praise God. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So I thought it was important for me to, during this time, to comfort you all with these words, that He's coming to get us. He's coming to rescue us. We might have to face something way worse than we're in now, but understand He is coming to get us. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to be, there's people that deny these verses. There are well-known men of God that don't even believe in the rapture. I don't know what you do with a verse like that. It says it pretty clear. He's coming to get us. And he says, well, you know, the clouds represent people. And he says, no. It says He's taking people to the clouds. Right? That means we're going to meet Him in the air. Don't you like when you can just believe things simple? Yeah. I love that. And we don't have to come up with all of these clever things and impress everybody with all our big words. Just believe it for what it says. One reason, maybe this is to help ease your conscience a little bit, but one reason Christians today may not be looking for the coming of Jesus with the same enthusiasm and the same expectation that the early church did is because we are experiencing such times of peace and pleasure and comfort in our land. But that early church, they were living, being hunted. They were under trials and tribulations to such a point, Paul wasn't making it commandment or anything. He says this is basically his own thing. He says, maybe at this present time, it's better that you don't marry because of what's out there, what you have to face. You have to try to manage your wife, raise your wife and your children in this crazy tribulation that's out there. So he's suggesting maybe don't even marry, and here we just live in comfort. Well, when you live like that, maybe you aren't so anxious for the Lord to come. But Maybe when the heat gets poured up a little bit. Maybe when things maybe go even worse than we are now, that's going to be sweet and precious to you to say, ah, the Lord's coming. And you will actually look up to heaven and say, come, Lord Jesus. Isn't that what it says in the end of Revelation? Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. That will be our cry again. And if you don't have that cry now, it'll come. Amen. Praise God. I had to admit that to somebody. He says, well, I'm not as enthused about the Lord coming as I should be. But then it was like the Lord showed me, well, you know, it's wait until you get a little more tribulation and persecution going on. It'll be sweet then. Look into him. Amen. It's kind of like the opposite. Like, wait until your dad gets home. You're gonna get the whipping of your life. This is the opposite. Wait until he comes. Hallelujah. He's going to rescue us from all. That'd be awesome. And you know the movies, how they have the raptors, and then there's the people are gone. You hear a noise, and there's like nice folded clothes. I guess they get that because Jesus is, you know, the towel or whatever was folded in his grave. I suppose that's where they get that from. But I think we're going more like Jesus did, where the disciples actually could watch him go up. That's how I'd like to go. One more time, you can yell down. Read your Bible or something. You know, you're not going to be there to preach to them anymore, so they'll have to get it out of there. Or, I told you a long time ago you needed to repent. There is one reason I want the Lord to come today. Maybe something you may not have considered. But I hate seeing children being birthed into this world right now. When you hear of all of, you hear what people do to their own kids. And, you know, domestic abuse is up big time because people are at home and not at work and they don't know how to get along. People killing, homicides are up in Milwaukee during this time. And I just hate seeing children being born into such a wicked world. So every once in a while, I'll say, Lord, come. Don't let any more kids be born in this. But because the sooner he comes, I know they still have to face the tribulation, but right after that's the millennial reign of Jesus. Amen? And then there's not going to be anything out of order because he'll deal with it then. So I end this sermon asking you this. Are you ready to go? Amen? Do you want to go? Amen? How about this? Are you ready to stay? If you have to go through more perilous times, you have to be ready to stay too. Someone asked the question to somebody, he says, are you willing to die for the Lord? And the guy says, oh, sure I am. He goes, how about to live for him? It's easy to die. Just take a bullet and be done with, or get a noose around your neck and it's over. But to live for him every day, that's the challenge. Amen. So are you ready to go? Yes. Are you ready to stay? I hope you say yes too. And ready to face. The altar's open. If you need to have the Lord search your heart, come to the altar. If you know you haven't been trusting the Lord, if you've been living in fear, if your trust hasn't been in the Lord like it should be, come to the altar. If your hope was in the world and you see that upset a little bit and it shows you that you just had a little bit too much banked on it, the altar is open. You don't have to come to the altar, of course. You can make your chair and an altar. But let's clear the air right now. Let's get our desire back for the come Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's get the desire back to rescue a soul, one more soul from this God-forsaken land, and bring him in to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.